answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mom always said I'd be the chosen one.
It's illegal, you say, for illegal aliens to vote in a federal election. Well, actually, it's not. Congress passed something in the U.S. code, the federal code, a line that, unbeknownst to the rest of us, makes it legal for illegal aliens to vote in federal elections if they believe they are citizens. It's a state of mind.
Title 18 left us just gobsmacked. Scroll all the way down to the fine print, and what you read is that non-citizens can vote without penalty if at the time they are voting, they believe themselves to be U.S. citizens.
Did you get that? Tucker Carlson talking about inside it is the opportunity for illegals to vote in a federal election if they believe they are U.S. citizens. Well, hell, this administration has opened the gates and said, come on through. Welcome to America. We'll give you a parole pass. You got to show up at a court case, and they'll present them with numerous documents wherever they go, papers and so forth, and included in there often are registrations, especially in blue states and blue cities, for them to fill out to register to vote. And they have been warned and told, and we ran the story the other day, if you sign that and you're an illegal, you are violating federal law, and you could be deported. But they're claiming that inside some of it, you'll find if they believe. How many times have you been told, you know, your answer about a crime is, well, I didn't know there's a crime. That's not an excuse. You should know it's a crime. You can't do what you did and then say, well, I didn't know. So in this case, they can vote, and then they just claim, well, I believed I was a citizen. I'm here in the country. There's an election underway. Can I vote? I thought I could. No, you can't really, but you watch for courts to kind of bend over to help get some of them in. And what this leads to is, again, why we have so many illegals in our country, and more are coming, and Joe Biden's plan announced today is going to create the same. It's just under a different fashion. I'll break it down for you. First of all, glad to have you with us. Here we are, hour number two of Larry Connors USA. And when we're on the air, I'll remind you, from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You can also go to News Talk STL YouTube. They got their YouTube license back. We haven't. I'm not even trying. And if you miss anything, you want to go back and listen or watch, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And when you do, please push to share with someone else. Send the word out. And let me also remind you, I talked to a guy the other day. He said, well, you know, I love listening to you guys. I listen in the car, but then I reach a point where I'm out of your signal. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I can't get it. I said, you don't need the radio signal. We have two great FM stations, but we can't cover everywhere. And sometimes atmospheric conditions interrupt, and sometimes other stations are overpowering, violating their rules, and it kills some of our signal. But if you have a phone, you have us in your pocket. You simply go to your phone. You can Google newstalkstl.com and bring it up, and you see a page where you push button to listen, or you get the app for free and load the app onto your phone. You open it up, you push a button, and you listen. And if you're in your car, you just simply play it through the Bluetooth if you have one in your car. Or use AirPods if you prefer, or just listen to it direct from the phone speaker. There's no reason not to be able to listen. And you need to tell others who say, well, I might be down in Atlanta or I might be in Paris. You can still hear us in Paris. I'm not talking about Paris, Texas, which would still be a good stretch. I'm talking about Paris, Francois, France, oui. All right, so back to this issue of what's happening with Joe Biden now again looking for a chance to get more illegals in. And you just heard, as they were discussing with Tucker Carlson, there is a loophole that would allow them to vote in a federal election if they believe they have the right to vote. The White House announcing today long-awaited executive action. I thought Joe Biden said he couldn't have any executive action dealing with the immigration, illegal immigration issue. Well, he exercised it first by executive action by wiping out the Remain in Mexico order that Trump had in effect. By executive order, he did that immediately, opening the doors at their southern border. And now he's doing it again. Just a few months before the November election. What a great sense of timing. Of course, it's going to see a real legal challenge anyway, but here's what he's issuing: a presidential proclamation that will temporarily suspend the entry of non-citizens across the border if the encounters exceed 2,500 a day over 7 days. In other words, they're still going to be able to come. They'll just have to trickle in, so we can process them easier and then send them on their way. We're not stopping them. That's what we should do, is stop them. But we're going to allow at least 2,500 to enter our country illegally over 7 days. This is not counting the gotaways that we catch on ranchers' cams or other video at night when they cross over. This is those who actually show up at a border checkpoint and say, I'm going into America. This doesn't count those who come speeding up from somewhere in Mexico on a drug cartel boat, either seized or taken from someone, and dumps off, runs aground at various areas, La Jolla perhaps, and they all jump off and go running and to blend in with the citizens. It doesn't count them. We're talking about those who actually are going to walk to a Border Patrol exit or entrance and say, here I am, I want to come in. Oh, well, you can't, because all of our numbers, if our computers are running, show we just had our 2,500 for the 7 days enter just moments ago, just moments before you got here. They went across the Arizona border. So you got to wait. And if they exceed that, then they will put into place suspension, basically, for 14 days before they'll let any more in. In the last 24 hours at the border, sources are telling Fox News there were 5,200 encounters, averaging 5,000 every day for the past week, 179,000 plus at the southern border in April. This is not going to work. It's going to be another failure. But he's doing it to make it look like he's helping try to control illegals. If you want to do it, shut the border. It's that simple. And of course, in the idea is we want to get them in to vote. That's another part of their idea. And the warfare continues against conservatives, Trump, anyone else. Interesting discussion taking place between one of the Trump attorneys, Will Scharf of Missouri, and George Stephanopoulos, or Snuffleupagus, on ABC.
If appearance of impropriety is the standard for recusal, then why shouldn't Justice Thomas and Justice Alito have to recuse from the cases before the Supreme Court?
I think the appearance of impropriety there is not nearly as severe. I think you're not talking about financial conflicts of interest. You're certainly not talking about a judge who's violated judicial code of conduct in terms of political contributions. I think that's frankly stunning. Speaking as a former attorney, former law clerk, I've never heard of a judge contributing to political candidates before. I've certainly never heard of a judge sitting in judgment over the opponent of the political candidate he contributed to. I think the American people see through this sort of thing. I think that's why President President Trump's poll numbers seem to be rising rather than falling. The Trump campaign obviously smashed political fundraising records, including raising money from tens of thousands of new donors in the 24 hours after this verdict. I think the American people see this judgment for what it was, and we're certainly hopeful that on appeal we can get it thrown out just because of how wildly unjust it is.
And, of course, he's talking about the conviction of Donald Trump the other day. And a lot of folks are already saying, I don't care, I'm voting for a convicted felon for president. But they may well have it overturned by then or not. But George Stephanopoulos said, well, this is similar to Alito and those on the Supreme Court. It's not anywhere near it. This judge had given money to the Biden campaign. It makes no difference if it's a penny or $100,000. If he gave money to the campaign of someone running against the man that he's facing in court, he should recuse himself, not even counting the money that his daughter has been helping raise off the back of this trial and working with a prosecutor who had pledged on his campaign, I will get Donald Trump. Now, they want to jump back to what Trump had said some time ago against Hillary, and I want you to hear it, and then we'll break it down for you.
She shouldn't be allowed to run. Okay, sure. There's virtually no doubt that FBI Director Comey and the great, great special agents of the FBI will be able to collect more than enough evidence to garner indictments against Hillary Clinton and her inner circle, despite her efforts to disparage them and to discredit them. If she were to win this election, it would create an unprecedented constitutional crisis. In that situation, we could very well have a sitting president under felony indictment and ultimately a criminal trial. It would grind government to a halt.
Those are Donald Trump's remarks, direct. And everything he said now is being turned around and used as ammunition against him. When the state-controlled media wouldn't bother covering his rallies, his remarks then, now they're not only covering it, they're highlighting those particular remarks because now he is the convicted felon. So on Morning Joe, all they use that as the latest ammunition they have.
It would grind government to a halt.
Wow. Well, that was then-candidate Donald Trump, just 3 days before the 2016 election, saying a president under felony indictment would grind the government to a halt and create a constitutional crisis. He got the premise right, just the players wrong, as he is now the first former U.S. president and candidate to be convicted of a crime.
I mean, this is what he said. She should not be able to run. It would create an unprecedented constitutional crisis if someone with a felony was running for president and got elected. It would grind government to a halt. Also, taking note that at that time, Donald Trump actually didn't despise the FBI and hate the FBI. He actually loved the FBI because it's all situational.
Situational because we thought the FBI would be doing a legitimate job. And Joe Scarborough, you talk about being situational. You guys on the state-controlled media, you're always about situational awareness as well. If it fits our narrative, we'll run it. If it doesn't, we're going to ignore it. Back to Morning Joe.
He actually loved the FBI because it's all situational, just like he loves this country in a situational way, just like too many of his supporters only love this country. If Donald Trump is president of the United States, and if Donald Trump's not the president of the United States, they turn on the men and the women of the FBI. They turn on America. They turn on American democracy. They say this country is horrible. It's all very situational. Not the way I was raised. I love this country.
Yeah.
I don't turn flags upside down. If my candidate doesn't win, I don't lie for 4 years and say my candidate really won elections. It's just, it's crazy.
You might not state that, but you lie on a constant basis, either by commission or omission. And then, of course, we had Dr. Fauci appearing in front of Congress in a congressional hearing, and they were playing a part of an interview he did, and this was almost shocking.
I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us? You get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
In other words, you coerce them, you put them in a corner and say you're going to lose your livelihood if you don't do what we tell you to do. And he said, then they will change their mind. That is flat out extortion, threatening, intimidation. He was being questioned by Georgia Congressman Rick McCormick, who is a doctor himself, and he continued with his questioning.
It's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
Thank you. Are all objections to COVID vaccinations ideological bullshit, Dr. Fauci?
No, they're not. And that's not what I was referring to.
Well, in reference to making it hard for people to get education, traveling, working, I'd say it very much was in context. And I take great offense to this. Miss Allison Williams testified before this committee about losing her job because she sought an exemption for ESPN's vaccine mandate, which came from recommendation from bureaucrats like yourself. She and her husband were actively working with a fertility expert, a physician, on how to get pregnant, and agreed with the premise that she was young, healthy, wanted to get pregnant, and shouldn't get the vaccination for medical purposes. But she was fired. Because you made it hard, just like you said in your statement, because you didn't want to make sure that the ideological bullshit got in the way of her working, of living her life, of making a medical decision with her healthcare professional. I think America should take great offense to this.
Oh, no, not only offense, we should be crying for the head of Dr. Fauci. He should be facing felony charges. Congressman Dr. McCormick continues.
That's exactly what you meant when you said making it hard for people to live. Without getting a vaccination, you affected people's ability to work, travel, be educated, to actually flourish in American society, to self-determine, as we're all given God-given rights. Shame on you. Dr. Fauci, you've become Dr. Fear. Americans do not hate science. I don't hate science. The American people hate having their freedoms taken from them. You inspired and created fear through mask mandates, school closures, vaccine mandates that have destroyed the American people's trust in our public health institutions. This fear you created will continue to have ripple effects over generations to come. You have already seen its effects in education, in the economy, and everything else. Quite frankly, you said, if you disagree with me, you disagree with science. Dr. Fauci, I disagree with you because I disagree with fear.
I disagree with fear. I want you to hear more from the congressman and how he was affected as a doctor by these rules when we continue. And also MJT, Marjorie Taylor Greene, rather, she goes ranting on Fauci. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. you should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Dr. Fauci, did you ever treat a patient for COVID during the pandemic?
I was part of a team that was at the NIH that took care. We didn't take care of many of them.
Okay, so not hands-on. Got it. Thank you. Why would I be criticized by a bureaucrat for doing my very best as a healthcare? This is a rhetorical question. But why? Why would the government, who's never treated a patient for COVID? You can read all the things you want, but you're not there. You're not seeing patients. You're not watching people die, intubating patients right there with that disease in your face, watching it happen, watching the development of this disease and actually learning from it. But I'm being told by bureaucrats what's right and wrong. And what's funny is everything I was censored on, I was proven to be right.
He was proven to be right. Now, again, that is Georgia Congressman McCormick. Rich McCormick. He is also a doctor. He also served in Afghanistan and the Marines, and also department head for the emergency medical department in Afghanistan. He also had served as an emergency room physician, so he knows what he's speaking. He's not just somebody talking. And of course, many of the quote common people like us, we kind of knew what we were saying, that I don't need that shot. I'm in perfect health. Or I want to try the ivermectin or something else. I don't want a vaccine that hasn't been really tested. And, of course, now we know and have known for some time, even the pharmaceutical companies were not guaranteeing, would not say it will stop you from getting COVID. They say we never even claimed it did or would. But the story was passed around and pushed on us constantly. Yes, you have to get the vaccine. Or as you were hearing in the previous segment, Dr. Fauci said, it's very clear it's very clear and obvious that if you threaten people with their jobs, their livelihood, that you're going to take it away if they don't get the jab, then they'll get the jab. And they'll take all their differences and opinions and just dump them in the trash can and move forward like zombies. And, of course, we continue to get increasing pieces of evidence about folks who were perfectly healthy and then suddenly began to have health issues after the vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. My position has always been you do what you want to do after discussing it with your doctor and or your family. I did get vaxxed. I got the Moderna 2 shot, and I got it because my daughters insisted that I get it. We had a relative about 10-plus years younger than me, in great health, come down with COVID and died within a matter of days. Now, once he was being treated for COVID, they realized he had diabetes, and apparently he didn't know it. Now, whether or not that contributed, I don't know. But he was fine. They were just kind of watching him. And then suddenly, once they decide they need to put a mask over him, he died. And how many people die like that once they put them in a laying position, prone position, and a mask on their face, if they're already having trouble breathing? Since then, they've come up with thoughts that, you know, maybe it'd been better if they'd been more kind of halfway sitting up in the bed, not all the way down on their back. Maybe that would have helped. I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying if it would or wouldn't, but that's been passed around as well. But the procedure was get the mask on them, put them down flat on the bed, and basically watch them die, and we collect extra money because we had a COVID death. I don't know if my relative died that and because of that or diabetes contributed. I don't know. And it's hard to discuss it with his wife. But I think she's beginning to see, based on all this stuff that's coming out now, that maybe that was not handled properly. And then you hear Dr. Fake on that audio tape we were listening to earlier saying, sometimes you just have to threaten people to make them follow. That's extortion. That's the mob boss telling the people, you either do it my way or you eat a bullet. You sleep with the fishes. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer, overseeing Dr. Fauci, he said, you know what? We saw, quote, a slick talker who fooled America. That's the way he describes him. He said, I think the American people saw the slick talker who fooled America, who has probably done more harm to public education, he did more harm to our national debt and to our economy than any single human being in my lifetime. Comey was not alive when Hitler was causing genocide. But in his lifetime, it had to be Dr. Fauci. And Fauci made some ridiculous claim the other day that 200,000 to 300,000 people probably died because folks around them were not vaccinated. I've yet to see the proof of that, any evidence of it. He just kind of threw it out there, and no one held him to account. But as far as his testimony yesterday and going forward, Comer is insisting, again, the House Oversight Committee Chair, James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, said, hopefully we can take his words and continue to gather evidence, take steps to try to hold him in criminal wrongdoing, because I believe that the majority of Americans realize Dr. Fauci made costly mistakes, he's lied about them, and he's tried to cover it up. And, of course, then there's the issue about money, as to how much money he's made. Now, yesterday when questioned, he said, I don't think I've gotten anything. There's not a I think. You either know or you don't know that you got money. I don't know if I got any money. Or simply say, I didn't get any money. Or, yes, I got X amount. He just simply wanted to go the escape route. The other issue raised by Comer there was what the damage it did to our kids. I saw a report today, I don't have it here in front of me, so don't hold me to the stats, but there's been something like, I'm going to keep it at a minimal number, 30 to 40% increase in the need for speech therapists for young children who were, during that period of time, having to wear a mask to help them develop their speech, speech patterns, how to say words, things of this nature, because they were muffled all the time, as was the teacher, so they couldn't really see and pick up and hear and understand. And they need speech therapists to try to come in and help remedy this. This doesn't even account for the kids who were not being taught anything. Even if it was a Zoom learning, they were not really learning, socializing. Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday refused to call Fauci even a doctor. She kept calling him Mr., saying, you don't even deserve to have a medical license. And when she got done inside with the hearing, she went outside to talk to reporters, and she did not hold back in talking to them.
Everything I said is correct. It's how the American people feel. It's what we know to be a fact. It's all the evidence has been proven true. We have Jamie Raskin in there accusing us of worshiping Trump, worshiping as a convicted felon. Well, yes, so is George Floyd and everybody. And you all, too. The media worship George Floyd. Democrats worship George Floyd. There were riots burning down the country over George Floyd, and Raskin is in there saying we worship him. Excuse me, let me correct you, and this is really important. I don't worship, I worship God. God. And Jesus is my Savior. I don't worship President Trump. And I'm really sick and tired of the bullshit annex I have to deal with constantly from the Democrats. Non-stop BS and annex. You want to know why? The Democrats don't have anything. They're responsible for the lockdowns, forced vaccinations, kids being forced to stay home, people committing suicide, and all the horrors that this country lived through during COVID. Fauci belongs in prison. He should be tried for mass murder, and he should be tried for crimes against humanity. That's how I feel after that hearing. That's how the American people feel.
And that's exactly what should happen to him. And again, they're going to claim, and they can make somewhat of a claim. Well, in the beginning, we didn't really know what we were dealing with. We were trying to get a handle on it. I understand that. But weeks and months into it, and not only were you still maybe didn't have a full handle on it, but then you're telling people you must do this when you didn't have a handle on it. And now they want to all be, forgive us, we didn't know what we did. We knew what you were doing, and we were telling you at the time. You heard her refer to, you complain that we are worshiping a convicted felon, referencing Trump. She said, I'm not worshiping him. I worship God. But since she brought up that phrase, Joe Biden used it himself in a campaign speech last night. In his speech, he said, folks, the campaign entered uncharted territory last week. For the first time, we have a president who's a convicted felon seeking the office of the presidency. He couldn't wait to use that, could he? Well, there are a lot of folks running around buying T-shirts that say, this year, I'm voting for a convicted felon. How's that going to play out? Right now, based on the amount of money that continues to pour into the campaign coffers for Donald Trump and the Republicans, it's not going to turn out at all. Unless there's a really big steal underway. And we got to be aware of that. And also, don't take for granted he will win. You got to make sure you vote. Coming up, the latest plan to end the war between Israel and Hamas. It's another bust. We knew it would be. And they're still trying to make Israel appear to be the bad guys.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle, and Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so back to the Israeli-Hamas war. And, you know, when we go about our days here, we don't tend to think generally about what's happening in other parts of the world, such as Gaza, the Rafah area, where, again, Hamas terrorists are holding captives they took from October 7, and they're holding Palestinian civilians, women and children, using them as human shields. And we don't think much about what's happening in Ukraine or Russia unless you have someone directly involved. Well, their day is a lot different than yours and mine, my friend, and I'm sure you would be aware of that, even though you don't really think about it. But I'm looking at a couple of pieces I want to share with you. One of them is absolutely inane, absolutely over the top. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me deal with this one first. This is a piece for the Epoch Times, and it's pointing out the basic function of all governments is to provide for the collective defense of those who governed or are governed. Take away their right to self-defense, and you've effectively transformed that nation into a non-sovereign state. And then it continues, six Biden administration actions and policies subvert Israel's right to self-defense. You can analyze them separately or all together. They make it difficult to avoid the conclusion this administration's basic goal is to undermine the point of ending Israel's right to self-defense and therefore its sovereignty. In other words, for Israel to be wiped out. Now, they're not going to say it. They're going to say and act like, oh, we're doing everything with Israel and for Israel, but they're not. As you know, over the weekend, there was an airstrike carried out targeting two senior Hamas terrorists in Rafah. Some 45 Hamas assets were civilians who were also killed, among those being killed. Immediately after that, the White House criticized Israel for the operation. Vice President Harris stating, "The word tragic doesn't even begin to describe the loss of human life in the incident." And the U.S. State Department announced it would investigate what it called a heartbreaking event. Within moments of that same airstrike, IDF forces on the ground were reporting the fire caused the deaths of additional Palestinians that was sparked by a secondary explosion. Early assessments were Hamas had rockets, ammunition stored in the area the IDF was targeting. And that's not such a far stretch of the imagination, is it? We know they've been hiding every weapon they had under baby cribs and in hospitals. We know that. So, yeah, you hit one area, it triggers more explosions. It's like a tripwire that goes to others. And in this case, it killed many innocents. They would not have been killed. They would not have been harmed at all if they'd been given full freedom by the Hamas terrorists. They were in a supposedly safe area, but it wasn't really. And Hamas had to probably know that if they're anywhere near and this target is hit, they'll die as well. But we don't care. We don't care. We'll be glad to have that happen. This epic article continues to point out that for months, Washington has done everything possible to block Israel from carrying out the vital Operation Rafah, knowing all along that Israel cannot defeat Hamas if it leaves the international border under the control of Hamas. Again, that's for the Epic Times. Now I want to share with you what CNN is posting. I had one of my daughters the other day say, Dad, what do you say, CNN? I said, I just started it, and I decided I'm going to continue. And a lot of you like it. Some of you may not, but kind of tough, huh? This story, though, is, I won't say shocking, but it is extremely distressing. The European Union, of course, is trying to bring all the countries of Europe together. They have a top diplomat that has made a statement. And he says, and I'm quoting, Hamas was funded by the Israeli government to try to weaken the Palestinian Authority, Fatah. Yes, Fatah was in charge of Gaza until they had an election 20 years ago, and they were defeated by Hamas. So this European top diplomat, Joseph Borrell, their high representative for foreign affairs and security policy, doing a speech in Spain, said Hamas was funded by the Israeli government to try to weaken the Palestinian Authority. He said, we believe that a two-state solution, Israel and Palestine, must be imposed from the outside to bring peace back, even if, and I insist, Israel reaffirms its refusal of this solution, and to prevent it, they have gone so far as to create Hamas itself. The Palestinians, under Bill Clinton's administration, and Hillary's even commented on this, saying these students on these campuses, they don't know the history. Well, you're absolutely right, because they're not being taught history, they're being taught propaganda. But Bill Clinton had brokered a deal that if Yasser Arafat, who headed the PLO at the time, would accept it, PLO would have all of Gaza, and they would give them about 4% of the Israeli land surrounding Gaza, near it, and have agreements with Saudi Arabia and other Arab nations. Yasser Arafat never got around to signing it off because he was afraid he'd be assassinated by his own people. And even as Hillary Clinton said, if I'm going to quote somebody, might as well quote somebody I detest in many ways, but she's right about her facts. She said if he had signed off on it, there would never have been Hamas. They would not have had 20 years to build their tunnel infrastructure. And she is right. Now, there's another thing about right and wrong, and that is, of course, built in our Constitution, supposedly protecting your rights, one of them being, obviously, your First Amendment right, your right of free speech. And what that means, not just you speaking, but a news organization or this program or others. And to that extent, the leader, founder of the Babylon Bee was talking about truth versus lies.
We've reached a point where you can't even talk about how they're censoring you without them censoring you. I think Dave Chappelle was right when he said, it shouldn't be this dangerous to talk. So what is it exactly that the lovers of censorship want from us? I think the answer is clear. They want acquiescence. They want submission. They want unquestioning conformity. They want us to give up and stop fighting, stop telling jokes, stop telling the truth. They want to raise the cost of speaking freely so high that we'd rather just keep our mouths shut to avoid all the hassle and penalties. And that would be the easy thing, wouldn't it? Adjust our behavior, fall in line, do our best to play by the rules of wokeness that try to reshape reality itself. It'd certainly be easier than fighting back and risking everything. We'd have no more headaches, no more suspensions, no more disruptions to our revenue streams. And all it would cost us is our integrity. All we'd have to trade for a little peace of mind in a platform is the truth itself and our right to speak it. All we have to do is trade freedom, a thing so profoundly valuable that men have laid down their lives to secure it, for captivity and capitulation. Are you willing to make that trade just to make things easier?
No, I'm not. The speaker was the CEO of Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon. We say we're not, but in many ways we have capitulated to some extent. And be it reference Dr. Fauci saying very clearly, well, you're going to have to threaten them with their jobs or they're not going to get the vaccine, to the point that if you're going to put anything bad on your social media that we don't like, we'll take it all down. To the extent that if you say something against a government agency, we may find grounds to investigate you. How far we have come, and he's absolutely right as to how it's being abused on a constant basis. There are folks who are absolutely afraid to speak their mind, so they don't say anything. There was a time back in the, let's say, 40s or so, that if you were asking someone, who's your favorite political candidate, who are you going to vote for, they'd say, none of your business. But they did it because they wanted to defend their privacy. But now if you ask some of them, they'll just say, I haven't made my mind, or I'm just not going to say, because they're afraid if they say the wrong name, someone will get upset with them. If they wear a shirt that indicates they might support Trump, they might upset someone. Same goes the other way. If they put a Biden bumper sticker on their car, maybe someone will come along and damage their car because of the Biden sticker. I pray that doesn't happen, but reality is reality. And then you have what's happened in this nation, not just turning our back on God, but turning our back and destroying symbols that represent what we are supposed to stand for. And it comes with a lot of the DEI type education. DEI, according to an inclusive trainer for diversity, equity, and inclusion, said they're still spreading critical race theory in our education system, affecting thousands of teachers and administrators, and resistant employees who disagree, she says in her published work, should be fired. She said, if they don't accept white privilege is a poison to culture and climate, then they should be fired. And then they get into something else, and it is the American flag, stating that the American flag itself should be considered a hate symbol. A hate symbol, the American flag. The flag that when our troops conquered Iwo Jima and the Marines raised that flag after that bloody battle, cheers from down below of those who had survived. When our flag is raised in nations that have been besieged by an enemy, cheers. And there's not one territory or land that we have fought for with our armed forces that we have kept land. We're not there to govern. We're there to protect and protect that government. The only thing we ask is land to bury our dead. But now stating that our flag is a hate symbol. There is a California teacher quoted in this story talking to Fox News Digital, talking about training at the Elk Grove Unified School District in California. He said, that kind of messaging, I get to a point where I'm like, this is insane. I'm not taking any more of these trainings. I actually asked the school district, what happens if I don't take the trainings? And they refuse to tell me. So they actually won't tell me the consequences, just that it's mandated you do it. In other words, you don't want to know what happens if you don't. That is a veiled threat. And more so, if you tell them, if you don't do it, you'll be fired, that's one. But then when they say, we're not going to really tell you what the punishment will be, that suggests they're going to go beyond firing you. They're going to look to destroy you and your family. And in fact, this teacher went on to say, what is shocking is these DEI trainings, they actually call out color blindness and meritocracy, but of course, if you're dedicated to that, then you're going to have division, and you're going to end up with nothing of value. There's a 2020 CRT video that explained many liberal ideologies, like color blindness and incremental change, are insufficient to redress the effects of racism. But back to the flag. We had heard this before DEI surfaced, before all the woke stuff really started, at least across the nation. When schools, especially those in California, were told to take down the U.S. flag in their classrooms because they had a lot of Hispanics and from other parts of the world. And, of course, once the borders started opening up, even more so, they were told, take down the U.S. flag. It's threatening to the people in the classroom. You're in our damn country. We should be able to put our flag up, and kids should still be saying the Pledge of Allegiance. How many adults even know the words nowadays, much less the kids? Well, one part of the pledge remains what we want to remind you with our show. One nation under God.